Is that okay?
Yep, great, lovely. So, I wonder if you've been reading any good books lately. Anybody got a good book at the moment that they're reading? Jackie, what are you reading? Great, so The Conclave about The Conclave by Robert Harris, all about the election of the Pope, yeah. Brilliant. And what was this book that you slowed down on? Okay. The Last Anniversary. Well, there you go. You come to church and you get a couple of good book recommendations. Stevens. So I've been reading quite a lot of intense theology books at the moment. Joy and Happiness, one on the atonement at the moment, oh yes. And a bit of eschatology as well, which was quite pertinent. And I don't know if you've had the experience where a book starts out really well and you're enjoying it and getting into it, and then suddenly it kind of goes off a bit and you get a bit confused. I don't know if anyone's read The Labyrinth. That was one of these big tomes. I got completely lost in the middle of that. But, yeah, very good. Do you know that wasn't even supposed to be a joke, Neil? There we go. But because you've really enjoyed the start of the book, you kind of feel like you've got to persevere. And sometimes you want to persevere because everyone else has told you how good the book is. And you're like, what's wrong with me? There's got to be something in this. Well, thankfully, the author decides to bring it all together in one beautiful tapestry towards the end of the book, and you get to understand it all. And in many ways, you're very glad that you stuck with it. Well, sometimes the Bible can be a little bit like that. We have some passages that we love to read and we kind of always come back to them. We can even quote them. We put them on our Christmas cards. And then there are other bits that actually, to be fair, if someone asked us to explain it, we're really not quite sure about. But then the best thing about it is that even if we don't get the middle bit, we know how the biblical story ends up. And we are all very different people. Have a look around you. Look at these lovely church people this morning who've given up their Sunday morning. Aren't they wonderful? Beautiful people. But we're all quite different, aren't we? Some of us have been a Christian a very long time and actually have thought through about Jesus coming back. Others of us are quite new to faith. And think that this particular passage that's just been read sounds, frankly, a bit weird. Jesus coming back, isn't that just what some weird cult people say? For others, perhaps this is just an allegory, and Jesus didn't mean it literally. Well, wherever you are this morning, don't worry, because the Holy Spirit's here, and we're in it together. The text in Luke talks about what is coming next and what we can expect towards the end of the biblical story. Just think about it for a minute. This chapter is set when Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's gathered this unlikely group of recruits around him. He's invested in them, he's mentored them, he's empowered them. Frankly, he sent them off to do miracles and amazing things. And here they are, this band of recruits, and they are there admiring the temple. This fantastic stone-built masterpiece in the middle of Jerusalem. One of the probably early wonders of the world as far as they were concerned. And it's a symbol of power, of security, of permanence. And yet, Jesus knows that this lovely group of people are in for a tough old ride. The stable, unchanging temple will be destroyed. There are huge natural disasters ahead. Events in the sky and seas that would make even today's scientists tremble. Earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes, famines. People's lives are going to be lost here. And then there are the political troubles. Powerful reverberations in the political spheres where governments change hands, strong men take power, nations rile against nations, alliances are formed alliances are broken. Everything that is sure will be shaken. Everything they think they know will be tested. The very things that they care so much about may not seem quite so important anymore as these big things coming to view. Sound familiar, any of that? Maybe it wasn't just the events a couple of thousand years ago. What are the things that we hold so surely? I wonder what our temple might be, the thing that is not going to move and we can rely on. Well, the good thing is that in the midst of all the signs and the wonders and the drama, Jesus brings great reassurance. Jesus knows what's coming next, and so do we. Jesus is coming back in power and in glory. There will be a time when love and justice reign. The powerful on earth will not be powerful anymore. God's kingdom will be fully established, and there will be a new set of values at play. It's like we know the end of the book before we get through the middle bit. Now, as Sarah said a couple of weeks ago, we don't actually know when this is going to be. Jesus himself didn't know. But there is coming a time when God will set the world in order. All that is unfair will be made fair. All that is broken will be made whole. All that we don't understand will be made clear. And in the meantime, we're not just waiting because heaven breaks in. We live in the now and not yet. The end of the world isn't nigh. We can't go round Hyde Park with a nice little billboard on our chest saying the end of the world is nigh. We actually have to have one saying the end of the world is here. Because the end of the world actually started with Jesus's resurrection. The church was born in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And at that time, a new dawn began. Have you ever noticed when the sun comes up, it's not a binary thing. It's not like you turn an electric light switch on. It's not dark one minute and then light the next. And if you've got young children, you probably are aware of this fact more than anybody else at the moment. But it comes more as a gradual thing. So when the sun comes up, it gets lighter bit by bit by bit. And we know that Jesus has conquered death. We know what the end of this book's going to be. And our dawn has begun. But 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Now, depending on what you feel is your standpoint on the end times, we may or may not see Jesus come back in physical form in our lifetime. But one thing is sure, that we will all see Jesus one day face to face. When we pass from death unto life, we will see Jesus. How are we going to feel then? You see, one thing that we're all united on as Christians is that Jesus is real and we will see him. And when we die or when he comes back, he will know us by name and he will know what our lives have truly been. That lovely worship song that we've just sung, I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side, when your face is looking at me, surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Imagine, I can only imagine. So how does this affect us now? Because we're not there quite yet, but we're in the now and not yet. Well, Luke 21:36 says, "Pray and be on the watch always, that we might be able to stand before the Lord." There are so many scriptures in the Bible that tell us that we don't need to fear judgment if we've asked Jesus to come into our life. We have a really sure hope that that he will see us in Christ, forgiven children of God. And if that assurance isn't something that you've really got, then maybe come and talk to myself or Sarah afterwards. But between now and Jesus coming back, we still have work to do. Sorry, it's not kind of like a nice Christian spa. Although that does sound good, doesn't it? Jesus encourages his disciples not just to hang in there and wait for the end times, but to live expectantly, to remember that there is more to life than the troubles we're encountering day to day. Look up, he says. Don't be weighed down by the anxieties of life. Get ready to see Jesus come in the midst of the worst things that you can imagine. There are troubles and tribulations over all the earth. You just need to look at the news. But look up. Jesus is coming in power and in glory. The passage this morning presses us to take stock of the big picture. God is still God, not the idols of the world. There are trials to go through, but an end is in sight. And the way that we live as Christians now really does matter. Our spiritual eyes need to be on Jesus and see how he wants us to live life. I wonder what you may think that a life well lived is in God's eyes. I don't know about you, but sometimes I lose the wood for the trees. Sometimes I get completely fixated on one thing that seems like such a big issue and lose perspective about everything else. Well, that's where having a husband's quite good. And also having friends. Because sometimes it can feel like the biggest problem because you just can't see anything else. Well, Jesus has some great advice for us. Don't ever stop looking at Jesus. Ask yourself, where is God in this situation to me? He says, don't be weighed down with the things that don't last. Things like Christmas shopping, drinking, partying, material things in life. Some of the very things we stress most about in life are really not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. Could there be more important things than the issues at work that keep seeming so stressful? Could there be things that are more pressing than the activities our children just simply have to go to? Could there be something we need far more than the next size of house? Watch, Jesus says, focus your whole life on me, not on the temporary things of this world that really aren't worth worrying about. Stay alert, focus on the things that really matter, and make sure you always look for God's presence. As we start the Advent season today, we are reminded to be expectant that one day we will see him face to face. Until then, he tells us to stand tall, look up, and know that our King is coming. Don't get bogged down with the things that don't really matter. Focus on Jesus, because he does matter. And you see, as Christians, we really are quite a lovely lot, because we're a people of hope, and hope's attractive. We are a people who know the end of the book, even if we don't quite understand all the middle bit.
Thank you very much, Louisa. Let's just stay seated and pray for a few minutes as we think about what Louisa has been saying. Father, we are so grateful. You are so gracious that you give us your heaven now as well as in the future. That we live in the now and not yet. That in the midst of all our troubles, all the difficulties that we face, you are there with us. In it with us, comforting us. You can and you do change the situation. You are so gracious that we have this hope before us, that this is not all the life that there is. There is the life to come when we will see your Son come again in glory. Father, you are so gracious.